What's going on, Positivamente Yo family? Welcome to our season 2 premiere episode. Oh my god, tanto tiempo. I'm so excited for this season. Literally, it's almost about 15-16 episodes. I've taken literally mostly all of September and these last couple days in the beginning of October to record a majority, if not all of the episodes. I have a couple of guests scheduled to begin recording in the next couple weeks and they'll appear later on in the season. But oh my god, tanto tiempo, mi amores. Today's episode, I'm really excited to kick off this season with my co-host Marisa Gonzalez from Fort Myers, Florida. This badass, as I will continue to call her, you'll hear throughout the entire episode, Taina Warrior, is just so amazing. I can't wait for you guys to meet her with me and spend this next hour. It's a special hour-long episode with Marisa, myself, on Positivamente Yo. Stay tuned after the jump for our first segment together. Te veo pronto. Bye. Alrighty, folks, mi gente, I am here with the amazing Marisa Gonzalez. She is an amazing badass activist. She is a blogger at The Well Project, which is an organization all about amazing badass women living with and affected with HIV. And she's just so badass. And I can't wait for you all to meet her this week as my co-host. She does a million and two other things. Of course, she has a real, you know, crazy professional life. She's a, you know, all over the map, badass Latina. Ladies and gentlemen, Marisa, welcome to the podcast, mommy.
Hey, thank you for having me. I think I'm going to change my middle name to just badass.
I see. I love it. Badass. So Marisa, welcome, welcome, welcome. I would like to just kind of dive in and start off with just a little bit, you know, top level, who you are, what you do. Don't worry, I'll ask you your whole story, but I'll just give me a little bit into, to everyone listening who don't know you as hashtag middle name badass, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Ooh, that's a full question. Okay, so I'm originally from Jersey. I am Boricua as well.
Woo!
From Jersey, been in Florida for 16 years now, Southwest Florida to be exact. Let's see, what can I tell you? I'm the youngest of four. I'm the only girl. I'm a fur mom. I am the jack of all trades.
Woo!
Which isn't always a good thing because it's like, what do I do? Like, how do I focus on just like one thing? Like, instead of just like a straight arrow, it's all like these zigzags and stuff like that. But no, I've had a good 31 years of life. Ups, downs, but I feel like that's what makes life.
Exactly, mamita, exactly. Now, first of all, I do think your hashtag badass amazing.
Thank
Can you get into how, because again, everyone listening to this podcast knows that individuals who are co-hosts can be positive, negative, self-describing, not self-describing, but how has HIV impacted or impacted you in your life? Knowing that disclosure is your gift, so if you choose to disclose, you can. If not, hey, we're a beautiful, amazing, brave space for that. But if you could just get into that, what is your connection to the HIV/AIDS movement?
Absolutely. So first of all, thank you for having a show like this. I think it's really important to be able to have a topic and a conversation that is very taboo, especially in minority Hispanic, African-American cultures. So I thank you, one, for that. So for me specifically, I was actually diagnosed, and I'm an open book. So, you know, we can talk about whatever we need to talk about. We can get to the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. But I was diagnosed as HIV positive May 23rd, 2016. I know it to the day, damn near the diagnosis. It was a really difficult time in my life. I was in a really toxic relationship, and I was one of those girls who was too nice for my own good. And don't get me wrong, I'm still nice, but not as nice as I once was. I don't really let people step all over me now just for the sake of giving me the benefit of the doubt.
Gotcha.
So I was in a really bad relationship, put up with a lot more than I should have, but he chose to continuously be unfaithful. And I don't say unfortunately, because I feel like everything happens for a reason. I feel like there's a mess for a message and a test for a testimony. So I feel like all of that has brought me to where I am today. And I mean, who knows? Me and you may not have even connected. The people listening right now may not have ever heard my voice if I didn't go through the situation I went through.
Hello. Wow, that is crazy. And thank you for sharing that. And I do want to get into exactly, that's what I was going to talk to you. You're a badass Boricua. You know, I also contracted the virus. I've had it since about 2007, 2008. You know, I'm 33. We're the same age. That's why I love you. That's why I think you're amazing. But we are Latinos. We are Boricuas. And it is taboo. I remember growing up, my abuelas, you know, there was this one gay guy who was a friend of my grandmother. You know, they'd be very careful. Oh, no, es el pasito de, you know, blank, because I don't want to put his name out there. Uh-huh. But how was that for you growing up? Like, and does your family know about your status? How are you dealing with that intersectionality of Latinx, Latina, Boricua, and now living so openly and honestly with this status?
So honestly, it was not something, and still kind of really isn't something that we talk about in my family. My family knows mm-hmm. my status. They're very supporting of the situation, but it's not like a conversation that just happens on the fly. And it was never a conversation of, we've never talked about it. Like, I always make the joke, like, I never got a birds and the bees story, but legit, I never got a birds and the bees story. So it's like, these are just things that we don't talk about in minority cultures. And I really want to shift that mindset because it's something that can affect all of us. And I remember, I think it was maybe 6 months after I was diagnosed, maybe a year, somewhere around there, we went back up to Jersey to visit my family, went to my grandmother's gravesite, and her sister and her sister's daughter were buried in the same area. So we went to go visit my grandmother's plot, and then we went to my tia's plot. And her daughter, I had never met. So I was just asking questions. I was like, you know, what happened? How did she pass away? And they were like, oh, she died from AIDS. And I just like looked, and I got really quiet. And I remember the anger and the rage coming over me, because this is something that somebody in our family was impacted by, lost their life to what we now know as complications of AIDS. Mm-hmm. And we didn't talk about this. I remember that moment being very pivotal for me, in the sense of, wow, as a community, as a family, we really don't talk about shit.
There's always that philosophy, right, in Latino cultures, que se pasa en la casa, se queda en la casa. Exactly. Right? What happens here stays here. Yes. No habla de la cosa fuera la familia.
But bro, I was in the family and they didn't talk to me about that.
No. So yeah, talk to me. So you got all this anger and, like, you know, this flushness because somebody passed away with complications from AIDS, who was a relative, close relative. Right. Did you speak up at that point? Did you say anything? Like, and how have you processed that? Like, what brought you to this point of such activism, knowing this?
In that moment, I didn't say anything because I was processing it. And I can be, I'm a Leo by nature.
Girl, I knew I loved you. My mom was a Leo. Okay.
So, all right. I can literally go from happy-go-lucky to really angry, really nasty in like 0.5 seconds. And I know that about Leo. Myself, so I try to be very conscious of that, because I feel like once something leaves your tongue, regardless if you mean it or not, like, that's it, it's out there. I don't believe in putting like that type of negative energy into the universe as much as I can avoid it. But I didn't say anything in the moment, but it was definitely something that like just stuck in the back of my head for like a really long time. And I never really expressed it to my family because I didn't want them to feel bad about the situation, because even till this day, like, I don't want to say we tiptoe around the conversation, but we don't really talk about Marissa and her HIV.
So it's still taboo, even to this day. Now, I know you have fur babies, but do you have like nephews, nieces, or younger cousins? Is there another generation of Boricuas in your family coming up?
There are younger cousins, and I'm like considered the oldest of like that group. Like, even though I have brothers that are a little bit older than me, it was very much me with my little cousins, three of them in specific. So I've talked to all three of them just about, you know, making sure that you're being mindful of who you're laying down with, making sure that you're using barriers with whatever type of activity you're having, making sure that you're getting tested and things like that. So I definitely make sure that I try to at least, you know, talk to them because they're at that age of where I know they're doing things.
Claro.
I have a niece who's 13. We don't really talk about that kind of stuff yet just because she's 13. It's a little too early. She better not be doing nothing.
Claro. Uh-oh. Titi's going to get in. Okay.
Titi, her father would kill her. but no, like her mom actually works for the local HIV clinic where I receive treatment. So it's like her mom is also very well informed, which I'm super grateful, super appreciative of, because she grows up learning about these different things that me and her didn't get when we were growing up. I'm super grateful that she's got like a woke mom and stuff like that, and my brother too. And like I said, don't get me wrong, even though we don't, like in my family, we don't really talk about like my HIV situation, like the support is real. Like my brother wears a little ribbon pin on his work badge every day. Got like a little baseball cap with a red ribbon. So it's like the support is real. We don't really talk about it. And that could partially be my fault. Like I refuse to let it be like part of like my identity in a sense. Like it can define me. So it's we're just gonna go about things copacetically the way that we always have. If you have a question, you know you can ask me. If you have a concern, you know you can ask me. We were talking about college the other day and my brother was like, I bet you they got scholarships for people with HIV. And I probably do. So I mean, you know, we don't, it's not like we tiptoe around it, but we also just don't make that a focal point because they understand that that the diagnosis doesn't make me who I am. It doesn't define me.
It's so beautiful that you say that. And I hope that when your family listens to this, they know now hashtag the floodgates are open. What I love about you, Marisa, like I said, you're badass. You're clearly a Taíno warrior, is that even though you're not making it a focal point, you are a leader in the movement. And I actually came and found you, believe it or not, because I was Googling Latina positive women, like articles, authors, anything. And that's why I found you through the Well Project, because you have literally penned so many articles this year from like, I think November, December of last year is when I first remember reading about you. And then till today, I'm like, who the f- is this badass woman? Like,
and it's so funny because I wondered, I'm like, how did he find me?
Mija, because literally I started this show last year exactly that. I want to hear real people's stories. I don't want it to be clinical. I don't want it to be woe is me. You're going to die. It's negative. We're real life people and we're living every day. And you are breaking down this barrier. And I recommend to all my listeners, Marisa's blog. She writes for, like I said, On the Well Project. And I'll have her talk to you about that after the jump when we come back from our break. I think this is a good place to pause. But when I tell you folks, Marisa is a badass warrior and you need to read her articles. And yes, I'm going to quiz her, not quiz her, but I want to dig deeper into some of the shit that she wrote because I read it. I cried for some of it. I loved it. It touched my heart, especially the dating one, girl. Girl, we're going to talk about that after the jump. We'll be right back, folks, with Marisa Gonzalez, who is amazing, jack of all trades, reina de todo, okay? She's a cacique queen. We will be back with Marisa Gonzalez after the jump.
On November 3rd, 86 out of 99 state legislative chambers are holding elections.
There are 70 million young eligible voters, the largest and most diverse generation in our country's history.
We have the power to shape our country and communities,
but we need all of us.
So picture this.
On November 3rd, we choose.
We choose who sits in 435 seats in the House of Representatives.
We choose 24 senators and 13 governors.
We choose the sheriffs, the DAs, and the judges too.
With 70 million young eligible voters, we choose to align a vision too humane to be political.
And make the future prouder than it's ever been.
So when the alarm goes off on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020, and you arrive at your polling site to see freedom clocking two-hour waits.
Vote anyway. When the machines stop working and your job starts calling because American democracy is running late again,
vote anyway.
Your vote is bigger than the color of your state.
It is a revolution in motion.
The moment you took to the streets and to the screens to share your outrage,
you recommitted to our collective dream, which requires that you lift it out of hashtags and into DC and your communities.
Because remember, this is the same year that brought a pandemic which disproportionately killed Black and brown Americans and indigenous people.
The same 2020 that took the breath of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Nina Pop, and Dominique Fells.
So on November 3rd, 2020.
Know that voter suppression will be present.
Vote anyway. You will be discouraged.
Vote anyway. Tuesday will be imperfect.
Vote anyway.
When every headline is shouting democracy and duty in swing states,
you will be asked to believe in a dream that never came to fruition for every American. And despite your best reason,
you must uphold it. Because we can't vote a world into existence that we can't first imagine.
The American dream is ours for the making.
Come alive for ancestors who need you to finish their story.
A story that begs for atonement.
Cast your promise.
Cast your promise. Cast your vote.
Cast your vote.
But vote!
Alrighty, folks, we are back for round two with the amazing, badass Marisa Gonzalez. I cannot tell you, while we were away for this break, I was just talking Marisa's ear off because she's fucking amazing. And so I love her, literally. She gives me all kinds of Boricua queen realness vibes. Marisa, before we talk about the Well Project and everything, can you tell me what is it like for you being a POS woman? I think so much in this HIV community and world is focused on cis white gay men being HIV positive. What is it like being a woman in the POS community? How do you feel? Do you have a community? And that could be like kind of a cool segue into the Well Project.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the beginning, being a POS heterosexual female was super difficult. Because again, like you said, you generally hear about it being predominantly the LGBTQ plus community and stuff like that. And I was like, there has to be a community of people like me. Like, it can't just be me. Like, stuff happens. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So thankfully, the clinic where I received treatment from, you know, they were able to connect me with some really amazing people. I've got really great connections. Originally started with people in Miami. Unfortunately, the area that I'm in, it is still very taboo. People don't talk about their status here. People aren't out and open about their status here the way that they are in larger cities. Really kind of taken on that undertaking, and like I'm the go-to, quote unquote, for anything like HIV related in the area. Like, I've done radio, I've done the TV newscasts and stuff like that. I make sure I go to events all the time. I've hosted my very own HIV awareness event. I always make sure to go to World Day, like, because I really want people to know, like, listen, we don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to be afraid. Like, people want to feel some type of way about our status, then guess what? That's their problem. And I get it. Rejection sucks. Like, it sucks ass. But at the end of the day, we have to love ourselves way more than any other person could for us to be happy and feel fulfilled in this life that we're living.
Yes, and you said that rejection sucks, and this was the article, and I'm sorry if I get emotional, just because I felt everything you were feeling when you wrote the article, why are you dating if you have HIV? And when you said how you went on Facebook date, I believe, and I did that, and you put your status out there, and the negativity, and the everything, and like, you know, like, and I loved when you were like, listen, you said something to the effect of like, my diagnosis doesn't define me. And I was just like, and you were like, love yourself, live for yourself. And it was back in February, I was still going through an ugly moment in my life. And you don't even know, your article helped me through. And I really was like, you know what? I could date, I can find love. And if this badass woman says love yourself, then I need to get it together and love myself. So that's what I'm saying. You don't know me, but I know you. I'm a huge fan. And thank you for writing that article. But what brought you to that point? That point of strength where you're like, fuck it all, I gotta love me some me. Cause you helped me, girl. You really helped me. What brought you to that moment? And what was the inspiration behind that?
So first, thank you. I always, you know, you always wonder as a writer and as a blogger and all this other stuff, like, am I helping somebody? And I've always said my goal, like, if I can help one person, like, I'm good. I don't need the clout. I don't need the fame. Like, I just want my story to be able to help somebody. So thank you for that. When I finally decided to go public, and I hate that term, but going public about my status, it was really a defining moment for me because growing up, I had always been bullied for different things. So I just felt like my HIV diagnosis was just another thing to add on for people to bully me for people to reject me for. So when I finally made the decision that I was like, you know what, F it all. I don't care anymore. Like, if I'm going to accept me and I'm going to love me, that means I need to accept every single part that exists within me. And that included my HIV diagnosis. So when I finally decided to kind of sort of start putting myself back out there in the dating world, I struggled with the fact of, do I put my status on my profile page or not? And I mean, there's a girl here locally who was an amazing activist as well, who talks about a sex contract. And I was like, Jesus Christ, do I need to make like a fucking sex contract? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, just because I have HIV, I am subjected to all of this shit that I now have to think about that other people don't need to think about. Because, and every state obviously has their own laws. If you don't know the laws in your state, I definitely recommend you learning them. If you're gonna travel and you're HIV positive, learn the rules and the laws in that state, because you never want to find yourself getting caught up in a situation you can't. So in Florida, we have a disclosure law. So I'm like, damn, if I decide I want to be sexually active with somebody, I have to disclose. Now, thankfully, I've never been the type of person who was into like one night stands and stuff like that. Not knocking anybody who is, to each its own. For me, I always felt like that was a deeper emotional connection for me to take it to that level. But on the flip side, I'm like, okay, I know I have HIV. I don't want to invest time into somebody, fall and catch feelings, and then tell them I have HIV, and then they're like, peace out. So it's like, there's always that struggle. Do I not? And I was just like, F it. And I decided to put it on my profile page. And that was literally one of the first messages that I got was, why are you dating if you have HIV? And that just like took me like all the way back. Like, I knew people were stupid. I knew people were ignorant. But I was like, you see people with HIV so low and so little that you would belittle somebody you don't even fucking know. Ask them, why are they trying to date? Because they have HIV. Bitch, I deserve love just as much as you do. Shit, I probably deserve it more. Woo!
Tell them.
So it's just crazy. And like, even to this day, like, I still have situations where people will literally like peace out because of my diagnosis. It's funny because I've been involved. I've been in Southwest Florida for 16 years now. So I've been blessed enough to be involved in a lot of community type things. I'm all about the community. I'm all about supporting local artists, small businesses, all that good stuff. So I'm known in that like little culture. And it's funny because this guy kept like swiping right on me on all these different apps, like POF, Tinder, Black, Facebook Dating. And I'm like, bro, when are you gonna shoot your shot? Like, you keep swiping right on everything, but you ain't saying nothing. So what's happening? He was like, oh, well, I kind of feel like there was a reason I didn't say anything to you, but I can't remember why. And I'm like, okay, that sounds really stupid. He's like, right. Honestly, I actually didn't. I honestly wholeheartedly did not. I was just like, what the fuck is this nigga talking about? So he's like, well, I don't mean to be offensive or anything, but aren't you the one that has HIV? And I was like, yeah, I do have HIV. And then, you know, we took it into a whole nother conversation where I was like, you would really not talk to me because I have HIV. I said, you should really educate yourself. And then he tried to say that I shouldn't knock him for what his preferences were and all this other stuff. I said, your preferences, you need to be educated. Because you yourself could have it right now and not even know it. Somebody in your family could have it right now and you don't even know it. So I think that's the thing that people always need to remember, because HIV doesn't have a face. Especially for our listeners who may not be impacted by HIV and they're just saying curiosity. Like, it doesn't have a face. There ain't really no signs or symptoms. You don't know. If you're not getting tested, guess what? You don't know. So don't judge somebody just because you think that it looks in this particular picture and it looks one-sided and, oh, it's only people who are promiscuous, it's intravenous. No, I was in a, unfortunately, one-sided monogamous relationship. I was faithful.
You know, he wasn't. Mm-hmm. Amen. Here, you're preaching. You're preaching. Keep it going. I have to say two things. One is, and I'm not sure if you've experienced this yet, I've been on the dating scene now. I'm going into year two. I was in a 5-year committed relationship. He was negative. My previous partner was not the partner who gave it to me. We were in a zero discordant relationship. And again, to all my listeners, all of our listeners, that's when one person's negative, one person's positive. I got out of that 5-year relationship, good, bad, or ugly. I've been on this dating scene again now for 2 years on all the apps, because you have to be. But I've seen almost a fetishizing, and I blame the porn industry for this, of people wanting to get paused up, which is like fucked with my mind. It is disgusting. It is demeaning. And I'm not sure if you've experienced that yet, girl, but it fucks with me every day. So that's number one. Number two is when you were kind of getting into talking about like this whole dating world, swipe right, swipe left, and the whole nine, and living in your truth. I have found that it is tough when you're very honest and open with your status. But what I tell people is who come with me with those things is, at least I'm being and living in my truth enough to share with you a very vulnerable piece of me. When there are individuals out there, and again, I'm not passing judgment on anyone, so anybody listening, please don't feel that way, who might have other STIs that do not disclose and aren't required to disclose, that you are just openly sleeping with unprotected. And so I'm just like really also always in awe of individuals who do live in their paused truth, which is what I call it on our show, living in your paused truth, because it is such a tough thing to do. But we almost are held, and that's why I'm part of, and I believe in decriminalization laws, because there's all kinds of STIs and I think everyone just needs to take precaution, period. And that doesn't mean that I'm by any way waiving our responsibility, because again, follow those state laws, just like my girl Marissa said, you have to follow those state laws. And yet, isn't that kind of fucked up that we have to do it? But if someone has another type of ailment or STI that they necessarily aren't required by law to, so it's just, it fucks with me all the time, but I get it. And yet, it creates such a scarlet letter on us. I'm telling you, girl, that whole article that you wrote really touched my heart. And I literally have had many conversations using that article as a reference point with other pause friends of mine. But I kind of want to segue into the Well Project. How did you get connected to them? What is the Well Project all about? And why and how the heck did you start blogging for them? Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. We'll go there before I get into my other, you know, article questions, because there's another one you wrote recently that really touched me.
So first
me.
I have to touch on your two topics. So one, I have not encountered the fetish theory, the person who idolized wanting to try to contract HIV. I am thankful that I haven't encountered that yet, because I probably wouldn't be very nice. Again, those Leo parts of me kind of come out, and I've literally had to catch myself sometimes, because like even when friends come to me and tell me like, oh, I just slept with this dude, we didn't use a condom, like in the beginning, like fresh into like my outness about my status, I would get really angry with them, and I'm like, are you crazy? Has my situation taught you nothing? At the end of the day, I have to remember that we are all our own individuals. We're all going to make our own decisions regardless of the people around us.
True.
Now, I will say I always hope that my voice is in the back of the head of the people that I love and the people that know my story, because I don't want anyone else to experience what I've gone through, my attempts of suicide, my depression, the rejection from potential significant others just because of a diagnosis. The second thing, what was the second thing? Oh, the writing. All right, the Well Project. So they are actually an organization that focuses on HIV positive women, or women that are impacted or affected by HIV. And that can be transgender women, non-gender conforming women. They really focus on anyone that wants to identify or relate to what we are as HIV positive or just affected by it. So they have a blog called A Girl Like Me, and literally you just send an email to someone and say, I'm interested in, you know, being part of A Girl Like Me, and they'll just send you whatever you need to just start writing. Now, I have always been good with words, thankfully. That's one of my gifts. And it was just kind of very natural for me to write. So I usually am a better writer when I'm going through difficult situations. Oddly enough, when I'm like in a good place, I don't write a lot. I guess it's my therapy. So I was initially like fresh into being open about my status and looking for that community, because again, in this area, there wasn't much of it. Like, I even tried to start a millennials positive group, and the first one, two people showed. One was not a millennial, and then nobody came after that. So that just kind of speaks to the area that I'm in. So I was really craving some type of community. So when I found the Well Project and I started blogging, and I was able to see, like, it's like a little like back-end website chat room and stuff like that. Like, we each have our own little profiles and stuff, so you can read people's work, you can comment on it. And it was really helpful to me because it allowed me to see, like, damn, I'm not the only one. I'm not in this alone. Like, there's so many other women that are going through this. And even Miss Elizabeth that you had on the show for season one, you know, even listening to her podcast, to your podcast, like, it hit home for me because she's also in Florida. Mm-hmm. She's a heterosexual woman. She's in a zero discordant relationship. So it really just paints the picture of hope for me, to be really honest.
Yeah. I love the fact, girl, that you mentioned you heard my last season. Thank you so much. That meant and when you text me about Diva Devoted Diva,
Diva, I love you too.
Honey.
I don't know. You love you.
We maybe need to then create like a women's roundtable. Maybe you take over an episode and you just do a whole one with women, girl. You know, like, I'm fine with that because we're all co-hosts here. We're not, you know, there's no guest shit. You're my co-host. So if you want to take over, I tell this to all my co-hosts. You ever want to take over, you can. We'll work it out. And you're so badass. You know that. I think your own podcast should be, you know, Daina Gatica, girl, because you're just badass. I kind of want to segue a little bit. And it's still within the lines of the Well Project. I read your article, White Passing, that you wrote on June 8th of this year. With all of the turmoil going on, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, everything that's going on, it was so refreshing to read such a poignant piece. And it came from a PAWS activist. Can you share with our listeners tonight, what was this article about? What did you write about? What did you say? I know what you said, but can you just get into this? Because that shit right there, hashtag life. And to all my listeners, you need to go read it, but we're going to get it straight from the source.
So, come on, girl. The reason behind that piece was obviously, if anyone, I hope, obviously, because nowadays some people just aren't in tune with what is going on in our country. So I take the obviously back. There's a lot of things going on in our country when it comes to racism, when it comes to the color of someone's skin, when it comes to just I can't even think of the word, but it's basically just like the, oh, you're Hispanic, you're Black, you're minority, like the prejudiceness and the judgment and like all that other stuff. So when I wrote this piece, it was around the time when there was just a lot of you know, things continue to happen on the daily that are not acceptable. But it was a point in our country where I think people finally started to get tired. Remember, I was having a conversation, and I use the term friend loosely now because you can't be my friend and talk to me some type of way just because I'm not as Black as you. And if that offends somebody, I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, as a Puerto Rican woman, I am mixed. We are made up of Black, Taino, Caribbean. There's a lot of things that make us. So just because my melanin isn't as dark doesn't mean that I don't face struggles as well. I get it. Your struggles might be a little bit more than mine. They might be a little bit real than mine in the sense of how often you go through them. But at the end of the day, I go through them too. So when I wrote that article, it was because somebody said to me, well, you're white passing. What do you know about it?
Yeah, yeah. And what I really loved in the whole article is you kind of said, listen, the master, without saying it, you kind of said it, the master has all of the slaves fighting against each other. It was basically like, listen, we're all on this same side of the fence. But when we become tribal, and it happens even within Latino communities. I know you know this. Puerto Ricans look down on Dominicans. Dominicans hate Puerto Ricans. Cubans hate everybody. Like, you know, that's just the perception. And again, I know I'm generalizing, folks, so please do not. I know I'm gonna get tons of little hate like stuff, but I'm just saying the article really was impactful to me because you were like, listen, we all have slave and master's blood running through us because they came and colonized us. We need to be unified together fighting this Black Lives Matter movement. And yes, I also am a very light, fair-skinned, cis, white-passing Boricua man, but I've always identified it as a man of color. And that's what I love, because you were raised in Jersey. I was raised in Connecticut, Waterbury, Connecticut, the poorest city. We were definitely, the Puerto Ricans and Blacks were arm in arm. The Puerto Ricans and Mexicans were arm in arm. We were the other. It didn't matter. But I'm noticing that throughout the country, it's almost, and I saw this amazing documentary, and I can't remember where. It was like the whole civil rights movement. And again, I'm just speaking as a queer man of color. The civil rights movement had amazing queer leaders like Bayard Rustin, Audre Lorde. There's just amazing Black queer individuals in the movement, but you don't see them at the forefront because in the movement, there was a need to almost prove yourself pure to those that you were trying to get to let you assimilate. And so even within this movement, and that's what I love about this article and what you were saying, is like, listen, I know I'm lighter skinned, but I'm still Boricua. I'm still have African blood in my veins. And granted, now with ancestry DNA and all this shit, people could literally trace that shit back. But I know in my family bloodline, we have indigenous Taino blood and Africa blood from Nigeria land. That's why I practice the Maifa, my Santeria, folks, okay? Because it's literally in my blood. And so I loved this article, and it was so thought-provoking because the opposite is also true. Like you said in this article, Latinos almost have a colorism and purist test within our culture to say, if you're lighter, you're better, and if you're darker, you're not. And so how has that impacted your work? And have you gotten pushback from this article? Have you gotten any feedback? Like, folks, I'm telling you, you got to join the conversation. Read the article. It's on the Well Project blog. It's written, of course, by the amazing Marisa Gonzalez. Check her out. But have you gotten what?
So I actually have not gotten any pushback, thankfully. But if you're listening and you choose to read it and it makes you feel some type of way, please feel free to message me, reach out to me, because at the end of the day, especially as somebody who is using my words for the hope of greater good, like, my intentions are never ill. My intentions are never to make someone feel bad about themselves or bad about a situation. It was about my personal experience. And at the end of the day, you can't take my personal experience away from me because you haven't walked in my shoes.
Girl, you give me all kinds of nuggets of gold, honey. I just live for you. Folks, I'm so mad that I have to take this commercial break. And you know what? I'm not going to do it. Fuck it. It's our show. We're not going to do this. So I have one more question before we go to the break. Because then the last seat, it's crazy that almost 40 minutes have flown by, Marissa. Can you believe that shit? Girl, this is when magic happens. This is how you know you found your familia, girl. You got a familia member here in Chicago, and I ain't never been to Southside Chicago or Southwest Florida, girl.
Come visit.
I'm gonna come visit you. But what do you feel is missing in the movement? Because here's why I'm saying this. Just like there's tribalism within communities of color, I feel there's tribalism in our HIV community, in that it's white cis gay men are seen like they're the only ones affected with it. I'm a gay man of color, and I know there's a lot of down low brothers out there who have it as well. And yet I feel like almost the women are invisible. Like, and that's why I love the fact that you're so out there. And there's amazing other big badass women that I've seen, I follow. A couple of them were interviewing this season. But what do you feel is missing overall in our movement? Like, what is to you the pinnacle of, like, okay, from an HIV perspective, not necessarily a communities of color perspective, from the HIV movement, what do you feel is missing? Or, and I know you, girl, because you are a true Leo, what would you do if you had that magic wand to be like, bomb on them?
Honestly, and this might sound like really cliche, and you know, the theory, or you know, people hear the saying, like, all we need is love. Like, I feel like in this movement, like, all we need is self-love, self-acceptance. And I feel like once somebody gets to that place in their journey, whatever their journey looks like, I feel like they would be more open and more willing, because at the end of the day, they're not worried about what other people are saying. that's when we can make real change happen. Mm. When you cannot hold my HIV diagnosis over my head, that is when I have the ability to make the greatest impact.
Folks, that's definitely gonna be where we break. I need to absorb that shit. We'll be right back after the break. Unfortunately, I'm so sad. Time flies on these podcasts. We're gonna have one more final segment with the amazing, badass, talented Marisa Gonzalez. Stay tuned. I'm Positivamente Yo. Alrighty, folks, it is time for my favorite new segment that I'm going to feature throughout this entire season, and it's called Poetry Prose. I've really gotten into my own poetry writing, and I will be sharing my own poems throughout the season. However, I wanted to highlight poets that I love and know who specifically speak to HIV and AIDS, and I feel that through the power of spoken word and poetry, we can really move and connect with others. And so, here it is, this week's Poetry Prose.
A dandelion in the midst of rose bushes would stick out like a sore thumb to ignorant souls. But I know the road this dandelion endured. This weed that all gardeners want to destroy is more appreciated by God than any seemingly beautiful bush of roses. Though that mutely misunderstood mellow yellow dandelion won't for long last, let it be known that God gave it the role of the outcast for divine importance. My mother was a dandelion in the midst of roses. Ignorant of her purpose, she uprooted her soul and unknowingly left herself for dead. It has been said that my mother went above the influence, transmuted broken hearts into smiles, all the while dying on the inside. AIDS didn't kill my mother, it put her at rest. Now this songbird whistles in the key of silence, and I, the latter of five, write poems documenting the struggle unknown to my family. The sickness she denied lies in my blood with a lesser value. People speak, I don't know how you can live with knowing nothing but owning the growing dis-ease that your mother for so long fought. Just the thought alone would destroy me, but see, that's the difference between a rose and a dandelion. Roses were created with thorns to warn hands approaching without caution, but dandelions weren't given that option. But they were created by an all-knowing God, and that all-knowing God created dandelions with the strength to withstand ignorance and hatred. Dandelions live in this matrix of life, understanding the price. Roses live like the world was handed. Dandelions have to take the world and won't leave a rose stranded, but my mother died before she got the chance to realize that dandelions are blessings in disguise. She, I dare say, died before her time. That thought lingers in my mind, conflicting with my belief in the divine. My mom raised me in the faith that the day God sweeps you away is a day proclaimed way before the manifestation. But I can't help but experience devastation, knowing nothing about the woman who carried me, toting guns in the defense of my father. It is even harder knowing nothing about her, but knowing the reason the hospital has become my second home is because this dandelion chose to roam with the buffalo. But I seek serenity in the fact that she just didn't know that she, a dandelion, was just as beautiful as a rose. And I will go forth knowing my purpose as a dandelion. This life is worth all the crying and all the dying I have to do just so someone in my shoes can live. I will gladly give myself as the sacrifice if it means that dandelions in the world will become viewed as more than the consequence of sins behind closed doors. You can lay me on my back and present me lifeless to God if it means that dandelions with unseen scars will not be viewed as odd, but as gifts from God to show the world that beauty lies not in the petals of flowers, but in the power of unconditional love, and in the strength of the untouched, unhugged, sometimes unloved, but most important of all, unbudged dandelions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Alrighty, folks, we're back with our final segment. I'm so sad. Marisa Gonzalez, she's giving me life. She's my new hermana. Hermana, you have a brother here in Chicago. Anytime you want to come out, you have a place to come to. Please know that you are family. I have a futon bed, girl. I'll sleep above you. I won't break you, I promise. But you have
thank you. Here. I actually have a friend in Chicago who I need to visit. So I don't know if you read one of the blogs that I wrote was about a trip that I took in January to Honduras. Did you see that? Okay.
No, I haven't
so
read
side
that.
Note,
no, I haven't
that was
read
like,
that. Tell me about it.
I didn't know that was going to be the highlight of my 2020. But if it has to be the highlight, like, I'm glad it was besides this, because this is really giving me life, too. But, like, I think a lot of us had just have had so much turmoil in 2020 that mine started off so good that I didn't think it could go downward from there, and for several different reasons. COVID is just, COVID's not what's up. But anyway, so in January, I went to Honduras. So there's this organization. Shout out to Youth Across Borders. Youth Across Borders is an organization.
Okay,
they're actually based out of Ohio. And they are an organization that really tries to bridge the gap for HIV in the youth community. So I was considered youth, like on the cusps, because, you know, I'm getting old. I'm up there.
Girl, don't play. I'm older than you, honey. Don't you play, girl.
But
it's
funny because I originally found, when I first got diagnosed, I was doing like all this research about like different organizations on just people that provided stuff for HIV, right? And I initially came across, and I remember it as clear as day, I came across this organization and I was like, there's no way in hell. This is a lie. Like, this is a scam. I'm not even. And I just like put it in the back of my brain and completely forgot about it. Courtney, if you're listening, board of directors, if you're listening, I'm so sorry that I thought you guys were a scam. I love you all forever.
Yes, Courtney, shout out.
But
shout out.
We love you now. Was just scrolling through Facebook one day last year, like early last year, maybe the end of the year before, and an activist that I followed posted pictures with Youth Across Border, and she was in Honduras. I was like, oh my God, this is real. And I was at a point in my life where I was out about my status. I was comfortable walking in my own shoes, telling my story. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna apply. If I don't get it, at least I can say I tried. You know what I mean? I went on the website and I was literally at the cutoff age. And I was 29, turning 30. And when I had my phone interview, I told Courtney, I was like, I am 29 now while I'm applying, but when I go, I will be 30 because I was reaching my birthday. So I got the call. They accepted me. So myself, along with other HIV positive youth around the United States, I connected with one of the volunteers was actually from Chicago. She works for an HIV organization in Chicago, so she was able to go like on a work project type thing. So the sister that I'm talking about, that I need to visit her as well, so I can make a trip to see both of you.
I love it, but we're gonna have
to go around. We can all hang out together
all the time with you. I'm gonna be selfish. I know there's a lot of Marissa to love, but I want all of it. I'm selfish. Just kidding.
But
just
listen,
kidding. Shout out
to Honduras was literally mind-blowing. So basically what it was is, right, I'm getting
yeah, so
to that.
What did
okay.
you do when you're out there? What happened?
Yeah.
What did you do?
So, okay, they
okay,
take
see, like, I love
Youth
it.
Across Borders looks for youth that are living with HIV in the United States, and they take them to Honduras to stay at an orphanage that houses children living or affected by HIV, because HIV is very high in Honduras. The taboo, the discrimination is real in Honduras. You can't even get a job if you're HIV positive. And technically, they're not even supposed to ask you.
Really?
And they will ask you for proof that you don't have HIV. Yes. Talk about like going back to the 80s. It is really, pardon my French, I love the Honduras people that I met, but their laws are so ass backwards that it just really reminds me of how fortunate we are here in the United States. Yes, we have a long way to go on a lot of things, but we are nowhere near these other countries that are also impacted and affected by HIV.
That's so true.
Yes.
And so you went there, you spent time with these youth.
Whew.
You talked about your story, you connected
with them. We were there a week.
How long was the trip?
We were there for 1 week. And literally, like, so we had, the orphanage is like on a huge, like, plot of land. Like, I don't even know how big, but there's like a separate house for the guests who come to visit. So they had like the girl side, the boy's side, and then they have like the shareable kitchen for all of the guests and stuff like that. And then just across the courtyard is where they have the nurse's station, where they have the kitchen, where they have the rooms for the kids. So the main space where we were was the girl's house. And then just down the road, literally down the road from the fence of the girl's house was the boy's house, because there were more girls than there were boys.
Wow. Marissa, you hashtag continue to give me life. I did not know any of this about Honduras, about this organization. So shout out to Youth Across Borders. Thank you for being skeptical, but thank you for verifying that they legit, girl. So to all the board members, Marissa's your validator, girl. Hashtag shout out to you. But I did not know.
And that's how I felt.
And I'm Latino.
That's like, exactly how I felt. I was like, I'm Hispanic. And like you said, in our Hispanic cultures, Dominicans don't like Puerto Ricans, Mexicans don't like this one, whatever. But at the end of the day, we're all Hispanic, we're all minorities, we all share that commonality. And when I went there and just saw just, you know, so many different things, like from the stray dogs. First of all, let me also tell you, Honduras got some bomb food. Their food is so good.
Oh, girl, I ain't never been, but I'm going back like with you, honey. You're going to have to show me.
They are beautiful, beautiful people, the people that I encountered. They are God, just people. So God-filled in their faith that you can't help but love these people, because everything that they have faced with the discrimination, because there's, you've got like little kids and then you've got like teenager kids, like ready to age out, almost like a foster care system type thing. Like, they are so resilient. And they actually, the older ones, go out into the community and educate. It is so amazing. It was literally like, gave me life.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, again, shout out to Youth Without Borders. Thank you for sharing that entire story. I'm going to take one more break, folks. I think this is a good place. I got to pay these bills with these commercials, honey, because you're just giving me life, okay? We're going to come back with the final fun segment with my girl, Marissa. She's listened to my show, so she already knows what's coming, y'all. She's,
some questions.
She kind of got a little advantage. You know what I'm going to ask. But she knew it. Them questions. That's right.
I am going to freeze because I wanted it to be very organic. Girl. I didn't listen to all of them.
Hello.
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 Hello, my name is HIV.
You wouldn't expect me to look healthy, would you?
I'm handsome and suave.
I'm cute as a doll.
I don't discriminate against anyone at all.
I'm black.
I'm white.
I'm gay.
I'm straight.
I come from people who don't know the truth.
Why?
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 Because they've never been tested for proof.
All right, folks, we're back with the amazing Marissa. Girl, these breaks are like their own little mini interviews going.
I love it.
We just keep going. Like, it's like nonstop, mija. Like, we got to, I forget that the audience doesn't get to listen to all the amazing shit we talk about during the breaks. Like, all the magic that's happening, honey. Okay, folks, I am so sad that this is our final segment. And listen, you are my first guest to have four segments.
I'm so excited and I'm so honored. Thank you so much.
That's how good this interview was, okay? Four segments, mija. Okay, let us begin. Inside the actor studio, James Lipton, as the queer boy, Boricua that I am, it was my favorite thing to watch on Bravo. Shout out to Bravo for putting that on. Rest in peace, James Lipton. And it's supposed to be coming back with different hosts. But here are the 10 questions, fun questions, so I can get to know you a little bit better, Marissa, okay? Number one, what is
your favorite word?
Non-cuss word. Favorite word.
Dope. That's dope. This is dope.
Okay, mama. Look at you. That's such a, like, you know, Jersey, New York.
I've been
like,
in Florida 16 years, but I'm still a Jersey girl.
Okay, dope. All right, I love it. Yeah, I could tell, girl. You throw it in there a lot, honey. And she's a Leo. You saw how many times she threw out her zodiac, y'all. Okay.
My least favorite word is stupid. Yes. Because I feel like it's so demeaning. Like,
why?
I feel like we all come from different places and we're all so unique that just because somebody doesn't know something I know, just make them. What if they know something I don't know? Then I'm stupid.
That hey, girl, you saying it like a Jersey girl. Stupid. You sound like my mom. Stupid. Okay. And I'm interviewing my mom this season. I can't wait. It's gonna be so girl, I'm gonna be a crying mess.
I wanna be in the
room. We're gonna be face to face. It's gonna be too much. Okay. What number three? Oh. Number three. Oh, I can't wait to know this girl. She's single, everybody. Single straight woman. She's hot. She got curves.
What turns you on,
Marisa? What is your turn on?
A smooth talker. Like, don't be a player, but like, talk to me nice. Like that, like put that little thing in your voice when you do what y'all do.
Mm-hmm. You can put that thing in your voice and my voice. You could, you know, talk my ear.
I'm about to learn some things, Lord Jesus.
Talk dirty to me. Okay, sweet talker. Someone. Yeah, family, this is the time where you take the earmuffs off, okay? You can put them back on after this next question, but here's the reverse.
Bad hygiene.
What is a turn off to you? Oh, yeah.
Everything, like don't look like you haven't showered in weeks. Like, brush your hair, like, shave. Like, I will say that is, like, one of my biggest pet peeves. I'm not one of these girls that's part of, like, beard gang. Like, I don't really like beards. Like, I don't mind there to be facial hair, but very, like, nice, trimmed, you know, keep up with it. That's actually a turn on, too, actually. I like that little, like, clean-cut look.
Okay. Oh, she like clean cut and you got a sweet talker. See, all these men's out here, she is single, ready to mingle. Y'all better catch her on Tinder, Instagram, Facebook date. Okay, sorry. All right, family, you can put it back on. We're getting back to the PG questions. Number five, what sound or noise?
Just because this cute little dog is next to me, I'm going to say her snoring.
I want a Frenchie so bad. That's my dream dog.
She's like part bulldog or something. Like she's sleeping with like her tongue just a little bit out, and she's got like these cute little fang teeth. But she is legit snoring. So cute.
Oh, that's so cute. Okay.
What sound or noise do I hate? Honestly, like ringtones. I hate ringtones. My phone is always on silent. For whatever reason, I hate ringtones. Although I will say, I just started using like that sleep thing on iPhones. The ringtone that it wakes you up with actually isn't bad. But I don't like ringtones. My phone is forever on silent. And when it's not on silent, like it irritates me and I gotta put it back on silent. I'm weird.
You're the first person I've heard say that. I love it. Okay. What is your favorite curse word? Curse me out right now. What is it? Ooh, you said it with such sexiness too. Motherfucker. Oh, I live. Okay. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Like a talk
try?
Show host, like a radio host or something along those lines. You
girl,
gotta
you
know
have
what's
the voice
funny
for it.
When
you
I was
Take over this
younger,
yeah,
like teenage into like legal younger, not like pedophilia younger. People used to tell me that I should have been like a sex operator. I'll take the compliment.
I love it. Sorry. Okay, what profession?
I would
other
not
than your own,
like
would you
to
not
be a meteorologist. Really?
You know, that's what I wanted to be at one point in my life. Girl, because they're like a bunch of gay guys and they get to lie about the weather.
We always get mad at the meteorologists, though, especially in Florida. Listen, I have to do this one plug. I follow this girl who's local. She's a realtor. and she posted a picture of her at one of her showings in her rain boots, cute outfit, little white jacket in her rain boots, talking about, I'm showing home in my rain boots today because this morning they said it was going to be 80% rain. We barely got drizzle and it's 6 o'clock in the evening. I was like, see, like, it fucks with the whole outfit. Like, no. Nope. I don't want to be that person. Okay. Love you all. Eric Stump.
Again, no
love you. You know, shout out Fox 4. Love you guys. I just, you know. Y'all be ruining my plans. My outfit specifically.
Okay. Oh, I'm so sad that this is the final question of our interview, but I love you so much. Marisa, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear the God of your understanding say?
I would like to hear, I'm glad you didn't give up.
My sister, I'm glad you didn't give up. Again, you don't know how me looking for just, again, badass HIV Latinx women and that dating article I just happened to stumble upon changed my life. It really helped me through a really dark, dark spot in time. And so I thank you so much for being here. And like I said, as a co-host,
you you're going to spread these words. I just want over. You to know.
I really think you need your own show. Like, I... Listen, oh, no, I'm not. Listen, no, I am not. Because, again, this to me is exactly what we're about. It's not the disease, the stigma doesn't define us. We're human beings. We're people. And you are so beautiful and so dope. And I can't wait to make all the other things we were talking about on the break happen, like that magic happen. Thank you so much for being here. Final thing, how can people find you? How can they look for you on social media, tag you? How
so on Instagram, you can find me at Rizza, R-I-Z-Z-A, 0807. I have an HIV page, but I decided that there's no reason to keep them separate because it's part of my... So now it's just all in one. So Instagram, you can find me there. On Facebook, I do have my page under my name, Marisa Gonzalez. I actually do have my HIV and Me Facebook page just because I do have some people that are part of the community that say that they like me sharing like certain articles and having like a one-stop shop to go to kind of thing. So I do have that on Facebook. It's HIV, the and sign, Me. And then it's Advocacy, Education, and Empowerment is after it. So it's just like one big thing. And if you want to email me, feel free. HIVandMe2016 at gmail.com, I think is the email. That goes to show how much I don't. We're going to confirm that real quick for you guys. Just because.
Go ahead. I love it. It's live fact checking. It's
HIVandMe2016 at gmail.com.
You've heard it here, folks. This amazing hour. It has just been a blessing to me. Marisa, thank you so much. And again, you're going to have to tune into your own episode because after the jump, folks, I'm going to share my final thoughts about Marisa and just give you hopefully a good wrap up, but she has done it herself.
Marisa, thank you so much. I appreciate all the listeners for being open and receptive to this topic and the information. Y'all are all dope.
Well, folks, it has been an amazing, amazing episode. Gracias, Marisa, for being my co-host this week. Thank you for your words, not only in writing, but also just in prose and being on this show, being a co-host this week, sharing your life journey, story, your opinions. I cannot wait, and I hope you do put my money where my mouth is, basically, and you continue to come back and co-host, you continue to plan to take over, and your light, your H, your luz y progreso continues to shine. That's all the time I have for you guys this week. Stay tuned next week. This season is going to be mind-blowing. We have so many amazing guests. I'm talking about individuals who are literally changing airline industry, fighting this administration in the military, people from all over the world, all over the country, and a little bit more personal this year. I'm interviewing some friends and family about my pause journey, and I can't wait to share it with you all. Te quiero mucho, Lucy Progreso. Stay safe, wear a mask, go vote, do the census. Te quiero, te quiero, te quiero.
We'll see you guys soon. Bye. Ciao. Te veo.